Welcome to Unstoppable, the conversation designed to fuel your success in real estate with insights from industry leaders and rising stars who embody the unstoppable mindset. Get inspired, take action, and accelerate your growth. Your hosts are joining you now.
Well, hello, everyone. Welcome to Unstoppable. Today, we have got the one and only Fiona Blaney. He's one of our top voice in real estate strategy and leadership. As founder of the CEO of Real Plus, she's helped probably thousands of agencies grow smarter and lead stronger. She's definitely direct, I can tell you that. Sharp, super sharp, and always challenging the new norm. That's why my colleague, JB, and myself, Thought would love to have you today on our podcast. Welcome, Fiona.
Oh, thank you, and thanks, JB. It's great to be in your company as always. And wow, what a wrap. I think my dad might describe me as unstoppable, although he does describe me as the tornado. So we're not too far off there. Probably the same things at times.
Well, today we are really super keen to dive in, talk about leadership, really discuss the myth of having it all and where the industry is taking us. So, Fiona, welcome and let's get started.
All right. I'm in.
I would really love to begin with a question which I think it's super important to know a bit more about your thoughts and your advice. We often hear and probably see someone like yourself that looks like you have it all together. But let's be honest and clear. Do you think the idea of having it all is a myth? And what's your real take on balance, especially as a business leader in our industry that we're in?
Okay. Well, first of all,
there's a lot in that question.
But, you know, it's so funny because there is this fallacy, right? Like I call it the comparison cloud, and I speak a lot about it. And it's this notion of what it is that we see, that we think about other people, right? It's like what you think about me and what you see about me is not necessarily what I see about me or what is my reality, right? It's just perhaps either what you take from me or what I allow you to see, right? Perhaps I'm just the best curator in the world that has given you the perspective on me that you have. And I think that this concept of life curation is something that we are seeing, and it's just become part of the norm because people are awesome curators, perhaps you could call it that, as to the concept of this perfection that people see online or maybe on a stage or wherever it might be. And I think one of the things that, and, you know, we've known each other for a very, very long time, you know, and you know the literally know the insides of my house. And JB, you know, we've certainly professionally known each other in and around that space in many, many ways. And hopefully the two of you would share my perception of me, which is that I don't want to put out to the world that I have it all together, right? In COVID, I think that one of the great things that I did during that time was sharing with people that, you know, in what was some of the darkest times for people in the world, you know, 5 years ago, as a collective group, a collective planet, really, was that I didn't have it all together. And as soon as you started talking, I had this picture in my face, a picture in my mind of an image I've posted of my face. And if you go back through my socials, you'll see it. And it's the craziest picture of the kids having done, I just let them go rogue with face paint and paint on my face. And I cannot even describe what this face looked like. But I did it to showcase to the world that, you know, that was the reality. It was this crazy sense of lack of normality. And what I try to do is create authenticity, just be my authentic self, right? And I think this concept of having it all together, what is it to have it all together? And yeah, what even is that?
It's pretend. It's pretend,
right? Well, the Barbie movie even showed that Barbie doesn't have it all together, right? But it's like This concept of having it all together is this concept of perfection. I don't believe in that. I believe in perfectly imperfect. So my life at times is this chaotic mess, and I actually love it. And people that know me very well know that if things are going really well and they are a very direct linear line, I actually create chaos because I love chaos, right? I'm like, I'm at my best in chaos.
So you're thriving when you're in that headspace.
I thrive in that space. You know, my dad was ill a few years ago, and I decided that that was the best time in the history of the world. When my dad is, you know, facing the wrong end of the age trajectory and some serious medical issues, I thought that was a really great idea to buy a puppy dog. And so, you know, in and amongst what was chaos, I created more chaos because I thrive in that. I don't believe in perfect. I believe in imperfectly perfect. I don't have it all together. I love that, you know, out of the ashes, the unicorn rises, all of those things. And so, to your point, having it all together, balance, that is my balance. My balance is being out of balance, right? My balance is, I call it integration. So, you know, we're probably the leading part on that is as a woman, right? And we're all women, and we've got kids and families and other things. And, you know, I don't believe in, I'm not a feminist, PS. Like, I quite openly say I love my bra and I do not take the rubbish out. Like, that is not my job. And then, you know, on the flip side of it, my husband probably doesn't, he wouldn't know where the kids need to be this afternoon unless I tell him, right? And we're cool with that. That's how our world functions. But that balance to me is integrating those pieces, right? So balance to me is when I can integrate my children, my social, my health, my work, my clients, my business here at Real Plus, and I can integrate all of that and I can keep it afloat, you know?
I think the trouble with the word balance is quite literally something that is evenly spread over however many pieces to make it level. And it's just not physically possible. I mean, I'm, you know, married, two kids, full-time job. And on Instagram, I probably look like, you know, I've got it all together. I seriously, there's so much yelling to get out of the door, like in every morning in my house. My children are not, they'd be lucky if they remembered their shoes to go to school. But you know, that's not what Instagram says, right?
Yeah. Correct.
And so I think that probably for women, we're also probably from a generation where we've been told or demonstrated to us that we can have it all, but it's really hard to have everything all at the exact same time. So
you cannot, it's not,
it doesn't
possible.
Exist. I can have a clean house or happy children or have a great day at work or have a happy husband or have some self time. I can't have all of those things all on the one day.
No.
Not possible.
And what do you say, Fiona? You can have it all, but not all at once.
Yeah. So I stole it from Ida Buttrose. I went to a women's event once and she stood up on the stage and she was the closing speaker and she stood up on the stage and she said, "Ladies, you can have it all." And all these women stood up and went, "Yeah." And then she looked at everybody and started laughing. And she goes, "But not at the same time." And I was like, it's so true, right? Look, you can have it all if you know exactly what your all is. You've time-stamped every part of it. You've accounted for all the jack-in-the-boxes. And all of those things. And it's not possible because particularly in families and business, if my all was me, right?
Yeah.
It's just me.
Mm-hmm.
If my all was just me, you know, and I pretend all I did was sit at home in my little house, you know, and it was just me on my own. I didn't have to consider where the money was coming from, who I needed to speak with today, where I needed to be, what I needed to do. I could just, and we've all been that. I know I've been that person when I was single and living on my own, having a lovely time. But, you know, I was in that space and I only had to worry about myself. So my all was very, it was quite boxed, right? It was in its own little cocoon. It was isolated.
Yeah.
But when you bring other people's all in, so clients, customers, team members, you know, if you're not the leader, but the leader of the business, then you've got your own family and the dynamics of that family shift and ages and changes and, you know, all of those things, then you have limited control. You have influence, you have choice, but you have limited control. And so when you have limited control, you cannot have it all in the concept of the all, because you don't have control over the all. It would be lovely if I did. But my kids don't seem to roll with that, right? Or my team want different things, and my clients need different things. So I have to be quite malleable and flexible. So I get it right a lot of the time. I don't get it right all of the time, and I'm okay with that.
And when you don't, what do you do? How do you recognize that? How do you pull away? When is that moment where you go, I'm done, I need alone time?
Oh, okay. The word alone time, yeah, that's actually a really, really, really important part of my life, right? Really important.
That's why I brought it up.
Yeah, I'm an only child, and now I have a family of five and a dog, right? And that to me is like the craziest experiment I could be in, right? Like I have no siblings. I have a husband who has only grown up with boys, so, and we now have three girls. So this whole thing, and he didn't have a pet and I did, and it's like this mishmash, right? And everybody's got their own version of that. But when I'm in that space, and this will be quite a surprise to people actually, because most people would think I'm quite an extrovert, right? But there's different versions of extrovert, introvert. And that introvert part of me, I have to get out of that space. And I didn't realize how much gratitude I should have for being a traveling coach and trainer, because it
Wow.
allowed me my alone time. And you're laughing, Jack, because I know this is a part of your life, right? It's like it allowed me that alone time without having to say to everybody, hey, everybody, yeah, back off. I need to just, go and stay in a hotel for the
I
night
never thought about
for
it that
6 weeks.
way. You escaped.
That's
Oh
my
my God,
escape.
I can't tell you if, like, this is obviously audio, not video, so people can't see the expression on my face, but oh my God, the freedom I would feel when I would step out the front door with my little suitcase pulling along behind me, thinking, oh my God, I have 12 hours with no one to talk to me, and I can shop at the airport and read my book and just have peace. It's a
And look, what, for those people listening that that are thinking about that and going, oh, okay, well, they get to go and stay in a hotel and they get to, grab their bags and leave, right? A question I'm often asked is, what podcast are you listening to? What are you listening to on the way to work? What audio book have you got? And I say, no, you don't understand. Most of the time in the car, I'm actually listening to nothing,
Yeah.
right? So I, it's, it is, I would say probably at least, if I wanted to do percentage wise, I'd say at least 30% of the time in the car, I've got nothing on. I'm in the silence.
Zero.
You can
Wow.
hear a noise, right? It's just nothingness. It's just quiet. And I feel that most of us people, and particularly the millennials coming through and the alphas, they're very uncomfortable in quiet. And I crave the quiet, the isolation, that reset moment. And so I can do that in little micro moments, like micro sleep, if you like. I can do that in a micro moment. I can do that in a 10-minute car drive. It's nothing on, phones off, no podcast, no radio, windows up, just silence.
Well,
And
that's your version of meditating, isn't it?
yeah, I suppose so. Let's hope I don't go into deep a meditative state and while I'm driving my car. But
I
yes,
agree.
it is a
Yeah, let's
format
not
of that as
encourage that
well.
one.
Let's, yeah.
I want to now put your leadership hat on for a split second. Our industry is obviously evolving massively in the last few years, some good, some questionable. Where do you think we're winning right now, and where do you think we are falling behind?
I'll start with the falling behind piece. You're only a leader if someone's following you. That's it. Point blank.
So true.
Yeah, you don't get a badge. Badge doesn't tell you you're a leader, right? I might do what you tell me because you're paying me, But that doesn't make you my leader.
Mm.
And I think that there are some inadverted commas leaders in the industry that actually don't have anybody following them, right? And so then they're wondering why things aren't happening for them in their business, or they're not getting the
Well, then they're
results.
calling you.
Yeah, I suppose that they're calling us. I think that's something just of note. So, we're running a leadership program. We run a 12-month leadership program in property management. And one of the questions that I, or the processes I get the team to go through, or not the team, sorry, the group, is I get them to close their eyes and we go through some visualization processes. And one of the questions I ask them in the visualization process is, when you close your eyes, who's behind you? Who's following you? And then I ask them to continue with that moment and ask them to look who they're following. So who's in front of them? Right. And it's quite interesting when you, and it's a bigger process, but when you go through it and you kind of, everyone opens their eyes, you're like, who did you see? People can be very surprised about what they see and who they don't see, I suppose.
It's funny, at Rise, Dr. Ben Hamer said this: if you are leading and no one's following you, you're just out for a walk.
Yes, I thought that was a fabulous statement, right?
The best. Because
Yeah.
it's true.
Yeah.
And it's just, but the way he phrased it so bluntly, I was like, wow, what a moment.
Yeah. And you know what? And in the and a lot of the time in business is there are leaders all through that business. Every
Yeah.
business I go in, there's leaders. They're not necessarily the people you want to be leading, and they're not necessarily the people that they're getting, they're leading people in the right direction, right? Because they're leading. The receptionist could be the leader.
Yeah.
And quite often the receptionist is a leader. Like one of the groups I was talking with, and now I'm going to forget who it was, but they were telling me, I'm going to call it, they don't call it this in their organization, but on the basis I cannot remember it, but they call it something like the culture club, right? Well,
Yeah.
and they are a group of people within the organization that have come together almost like a board of culture. And
Yeah.
that group comes together because they are the drivers of culture. So they're
I love that.
leading. Isn't it awesome? So they're leading this en the energy. They're people that have been identified in that business as being, not by design, but by default, they've become the cultural engineers. So this
The
business has said, you
movement,
know
I love
what?
that.
Yeah. So you know what? Let's get these people around a table because whether we like it or not, they're
They're the
in charge
influencer,
in
the
the market.
ambassador.
But,
Yeah, love
so
that.
yeah. So I've got goosebumps. So they're going on this like journey around that, and I think this people piece is it's recognizing, to your question earlier, Ange, it's so leadership. Are you a leader? Is anybody following you? Who are you following? Two is. What is leadership actually in your business? And where do you need your people to go? And therefore, how do you need to show up every day in order to, then kind of reverse engineer that org chart and hold them up to support them to move forward? I know we're not on video here, but I am right
Oh,
now.
there's
I'm watching
parts of
you.
it that need
I wish we
detail
were,
cord.
right? I'm doing all these visual actions because you all know I would like to be Italian.
We'll
And
make sure we will share that. Go again. Move.
but it's, we're supporting these people to be able to move to where they need to go. But then the other part of all of this is, and I see this around these groups that we're running. No one's got leadership training. There's no formal background, right? And I adore shameless, unequivocal plug. I love running these leadership programs I'm running because the light bulbs that go on for people when, like, we just say one of the first ones we do was a huge program about leadership styles, right? And how, most people don't realize. You actually need to be able to move in and out of various leadership styles, various leadership modes, right? And most people actually have one mode and they either turn it on or they turn it off. They don't adapt it. And so when you show them these modes, all of a sudden they go, oh, light bulbs, oh, wow. And then you see people putting into practice these theoretical leadership concepts and then bringing it to life in their teams and getting just, oh, just brilliant results, moving this group together. But there's no leadership training. You're just the next person in line. And
You've been with us for 10 years and our leader's leaving. So guess what, Fiona? Job's
congrats.
yours.
Would you like to be head of department fee?
Yeah. I mean, I could talk about that topic like literally for the entire day, but the podcast is only 20 minutes. So over the weekend we just had our leadership forum and one of the speakers and I did know the number, but I hadn't heard it for a little while, so it really did remind me, and I wrote it down because I was so shocked that it hasn't changed. Only 23% of real estate leaders in this country have had any kind of formal training, but that does not mean an MBA. It could be somebody that goes to RISE, a leadership conference, reads a leadership book, listens to a podcast. There is only 23%. So out of what, 1,000 agencies, how many of those people are actually working on those? It's mind-boggling.
Completely out
We've
of
got
the
people's
question.
literal lives in our hands, and we don't, if we want better businesses, we need to be better leaders.
I would even question that stat, right?
Yeah, I actually do question it too. But do I believe 23% of people might have listened to a podcast? Sure.
Oh, sure, of course, of course. Yeah,
But
sure.
formal training, no.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it's very interesting.
I
I
where do
think
you think we're winning?
yeah. Oh, where are we
Really
winning?
good question.
I think we're winning. I'll go against the grain a little bit. I think we can talk to the things, like you said, we can talk to the things we're all doing wrong. But I think we actually care, right? I think we care. Like I we're in people's homes, and I think the majority of people, even though they might start out as, the old school kind of metaphoric wheeler dealer, drive the BMW, blah, blah, blah. Like, I get that. Oh, yeah, it's not BMW anymore, is it? But I actually think that once you're in there, it's hard not to care about the client. It's hard not to care about the human. So I do think we care about the client and the customer. I think at our core, we do as an industry. Even though we don't necessarily show up like that, in many senses, because we don't necessarily talk to that. So I do think we do that well. I think that in a space that could have been digitalized a long time ago, I think we've held our we can hold our heads high that care factor and the human support and the service is still something that the consumer really wants. And I think that I think as an industry, we are giving it a nudge at trying to bring those two things together, the tech, the AI, bringing that together with the human element. And we're not going to, no one's getting any of that right now, in any industry, I don't think really. Like, everyone's just trying. And we've just got this evolution of tech. Like, we were the three of us, we were with Sam from Elite Agent, who's obviously the formidable positioning on AI in real estate. And you can see with all of the elements that she's bringing together, like this is, in her words, this is a revolution. Like the Industrial Revolution. It's the AI one, and it will come in. We haven't got it right yet, but we are trying. We are interested. I think we are open as leaders. I think most people want to be good leaders. They want to do the right thing by their people. We just, in the main, are in SME, and the guy who owns the local coffee shop. Well, would you ask him if he's been and done a leadership course on, supporting his, what would be perhaps 30 staff that run, a local cafe? Would we ask him? No, we probably wouldn't. But at least perhaps to your point, at least it's 20% or 25% of people, right? So I think our intention is right. I think we are interested, we are curious, and we care.
Change is coming, whether we like it or not.
Oh, weather, it changes everywhere. It's the daily.
Absolutely. I think it's already here. You've worked with, I mean, obviously a stack of different business owners, over the years, on structure, on leadership, on systems, process, all that sort of stuff. What are the kind of patterns you see in the businesses that that do well and stay for the long term?
Businesses that do well, number one is that the person who owns that business is highly passionate. It's the number one thing. They have to have the passion, the drive, the energy. This is a it's a volatile business, and it just gets in your blood. Like even here in our business at Real Plus, right? We've had people that have joined our business. Been in business now on and off, various capacities for. Well, I've been doing this gig 23 years. I've had this business now probably 20 years. And the people in our business that make it are actually the people that have come out of an office, that really make it quickly. Like that's, 90% of the time. Why? Because it's just part of you. I don't know. Once you get into it, it's part of you. So that energy and the passion is super important. The second part of that is they're very, very clear on who they are themselves. And then secondly, who the business is. We give the business a profile. So who is this business? Why are we here? What is the what are we seeking to achieve? What's the ultimate goal? And why am I doing this as a business owner? And then why are we doing this as a business? And then they've got those in place, and then they've got the plan by which to bring that to light, And if you ask, go right back to that very first question that Ange asked, which was around, you look like you've got it all together. Is it like that all the time? So the best businesses, they look like they've got it all together, but it's not like that all the time. And so because the passion and the motivation and the energy is there, the desire to
Awesome.
plan and execute is there, then they're ready to pivot and change. They'll make hard decisions when they need to. And that is how they keep moving forward.
That's great. It's good. It's good observations. I'd love to know on the PM front, there's, I mean, I get asked all the time, how many properties should a property manager look after? I can see the eye roll from here, Fiona.
No. I'm gonna run that class one day, and what I'm going to do is, if you'd asked me that years ago, I would have said I'm gonna hire out the Sydney Cricket Ground or the Acer Arena, and I'm gonna announce it, and everybody's gonna pay me. $500,000 each. I'm going to announce that, and I'll never have to work another day in my life, and that'll be the mic drop moment, right? That's why I had the little giggle, because it's the forever question. But I interrupted you. So what was your question going to be, Jackie?
Well, the thing is, people do ask it, and I actually don't think there's an easy answer because the short answer is it depends. It depends on the property manager's
There is
capabilities,
no
the
no.
systems, the
There
tech.
categorically is not one answer. There
What
is
do
not one answer.
you
Like
see?
I've got a client where we've got a property manager, a single portfolio, managing just on 400, right? And then I've got another client where we've got a portfolio and they've got about 80. Okay. So, you tell me how is there even in that structure? It's not possible. So I'll tell you what is possible. What is possible is for you to work out how many properties a property manager can manage on average in your rent roll. Because you can work out in your rent roll what the time to serve is on every function in your business. I can work out how long does it take on average to do maintenance, lease renewals, rent reviews, routines, vacates, ingoings. Leasing, rent reviews, all the things. I can work that out. I've actually got strategies to do it. We've got spreadsheets and all the things. I love data. And so we can work that out. And therefore, in your business, we can work out how many properties a property manager can manage in your business.
Yeah, it's really interesting. I would encourage people to reach out to you and have that conversation because it is there is no one size fits all.
No, not at all. Absolutely not at all.
What do you think is coming next in the PM space?
Well, I think as always, there's a downward pressure on fees.
Yeah.
That's just that reality. By the way, I don't care what you charge. Charge nothing. Charge 50%. Just make sure that your market wants the service that you're offering, and that you've got a strategy appropriate for the fee that you're charging, right? Anyway, we could spend all day on that. Won't be a 20-minute session. But I think where we're going is, I think businesses, as a result of that comment, really need to get into the weeds on the process. Like, I've literally just jumped off a session today where we were unpacking process. And I've been working with a couple of significant businesses on shaving mass time and resources from their organizations because the processes became too complicated. In the last 5, 10 years, we've got very caught up in tech and legislation and butt covering. And so we've elongated all of our processes in some way because of those things. And so we kind of need to strip it back a bit because the client doesn't care. Client just wants a call. Client wants you to know what they're doing. That's why they only own 1.3, properties in average investor in the country. So they want you to know that they want to know it's been looked after. So where do I think it's going? I think we've got to get better at systemizing for the things that people do not see so that we can connect with our clients to serve them better, but maintain or at least manage, influence profit lines to continue the whole point for being in business, which is to fund the lives of the people that own it and the people that are in it.
Let's
So
go.
that's where I think we're going. AI, of course, AI. Who could, it's
It's
thousands of
coming.
people
It's
on
here.
that.
It's been here driving our Apple Maps for years.
It's
Siri's
like
been around for a long time.
whatever. Just get better at it, right? You've
Yeah.
got to know your data. Data, big data. We've been talking about this for years. This is nothing new, right? But we don't do it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, it'd
That's
take.
valuable advice, Fee. I have one more question, which I'd like to know. There's a few books behind you that you've written.
Oh.
It's been a little while now, and I'm wondering when's the next one coming?
Yeah. So funny. Yeah, you're right. The book, oh, you can't see me because I'm on the screen.
We
But
can see. Yep.
look at this little lady here, right? She's looking a little bit younger there. Now, this book, you're funny you say that, Ange. So this book, when was it? Like 2000, and we're going to find out in about 30 seconds. So this book, I think, was written, first published in, dun, dun, dun. It's not got the name on here for me, but I think it was like 2000 and, oh, here we go. 2008 and reprinted in 2010. That's a while ago, right? So I'm showing my age. But we went through and read this recently. That's
Hasn't
the
changed,
interesting
has
part
it?
of the story, right? And you asked me, where are we going and what's the crystal ball and all that, right? I can tell you now, if somebody wants a copy of this, they can have it because I've still got a truckload out the back. But it's like, there's limited, that's changed.
Wow.
It's what's changed is our tech's changed. We don't do
Yeah.
condition reports on paper or on a Palm Pilot, remember that, right? Or on our phones. Like, we're doing them on fully
Speed.
implemented, integrated software.
Yeah.
Our cameras are not something that we take in our hands, they're on our iPads. And we're not even doing that anymore, right? We've got 360 degree cameras with AI integration, Inspection Express, TARP, it all talks to each other. So the tech has changed. The marketing has changed. It's not a
But
lot
not much.
that's changed.
That's only two things. Really, that's two things that have changed. And
Well,
is it changed or has it improved operational efficiency?
it's evolved.
I think it's evolved some of the operation efficiency.
Yeah.
I think it's improved. Look, we went, if you condition reports as an example, right? You talk about blowout. Oh my God, these things are taking people 4 or 5. I had somebody the other day who was taking a whole day to do an ingoing. Like, hello, that's a non-for-profit business when you're doing it at that level. So So what this does, you throw a 360 degree camera in that room, right? And it makes doing business easier. That's what I'm saying. So when you're using software and things that support doing the business, great. When it takes over and becomes the business, that's a different service offering. That's different, right? We don't want to go, you're not an online, all-inclusive, don't tech-driven business. You're a people-first business, so have the tech support you. And what was really interesting in reading this book was it was about the methodology and infrastructure that went behind this that was different, not in and of itself, right? Like,
Well, I'll let you in on a little secret, girlfriend. Why don't you just put a new front page of the cover and relaunch if nothing's changed?
I know we haven't thought about doing it, but apparently people don't read books anymore.
Fiona Blaney, the one and only, we thank you very, very much for your time. That has gone very quickly.
Thank you.
And
I hope everyone's got some value out of that.
we truly appreciate your insight and everything you do for our industry. Thank you. JB, did you want to add anything to that?
Yeah, I really want to get a copy of that book. And if anybody wants a copy of the PM Bootcamp, make sure they reach out to Fiona because
Yeah.
I actually want to read that now and see how much. I mean, I know not a lot has changed, like those
Yeah.
core fundamentals, but I want to read it just for self-interest.
Right,
And
I'll send it to you.
guys,
Send your
if you need an
signed copy
X-ray,
back.
definitely, I highly recommend if you need an X-ray on your business and are ready to really look under the hood, give Fia a call.
Thanks so
Thanks,
much, Kimberly.
Fia.
Thanks, JB. Have an
Thanks,
awesome day.
Fiona.
Good luck, everybody. Hopefully, you have the best year of your life yet.
If you've loved that conversation or you're just getting a taste of my no fluff, full-hearted approach, don't miss your chance to see me live at PM1. PM1 isn't just another event we've founded. It's a bold, purpose-built experience for curious, connected, and committed PM professionals who are ready to grow. Get your tickets to PM1 now, hear from myself and other industry legends, and walk away with real tools, fresh thinking, and a few game-changing light bulb moments. I cannot wait to see you there. Check out pm1.com.au and grab your tickets before the early bird session runs out. Don't forget, the future of PM starts here, and you want to be in the room. See you on the 14th, 15th of September at Sydney's Hilton.